We're going to stay here and enjoy our time together. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, as it was just read. Before we do, let's spend a moment in prayer. So God, we invite you here. We know that you come, and we want to say welcome. Give us ears today to hear these words. This is your gospel, good news for us. Give us minds to understand these words. And most importantly, Lord Christ, give us hearts to receive the gift of these words. May we be good soil as we receive this, your seed. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you're sick, there are many things that you don't want to hear. And one of those things that I've heard over the years from various and sundry people when I've been sick, it's either a physical illness, sometimes we're just not feeling well emotionally, maybe we're spiritually sick, not where God wants us to be. However that evidences itself, the last thing that we want to hear is these words. Maybe you've heard them. If you just had enough faith, you'd be healed. Anybody say that to you before? I hope not. I hope they haven't. But I've heard that before. Well, Steve, you're sick because you don't have enough faith. God wants to heal you. If you just had enough faith, he would do it. There are pockets of Christianity who espouse that very theology, but that very theology is very poor. We're talking here in chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke about faith. Pastor Corey talked to us about the faith of the disciples last week. Remember, Jesus is encouraging the disciples in their faith and faithful living. He's encouraged them, as we heard last week, to have faith to keep others from stumbling, to keep faith enough to forgive, to keep faith enough to move a mulberry tree, to have enough faith to do what we're told to do. And remember the plea of the disciples? They said, increase our faith. When it comes down to it, our faith is the, in my opinion, most important thing about following Jesus. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, it is by grace through faith that you receive the gospel, the gifts of God, salvation. And so when we think about faith, this is an important piece of how we follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, as we get to verse 11, Jesus is walking between the border of Galilee, which is up in the north, and then Samaria, south. And Samaria happens to sit between Galilee and Jerusalem, Israel. And so oftentimes, people of Galilee who were Jews would not even walk through Samaria because they had an adversarial relationship. You could say they literally hated one another, Samaritans and Jews. So Jesus finds himself on the border. There are 10 lepers he sees, and they cry out to Jesus. Somehow, some way, they've heard of Jesus. Maybe they're following Jesus. I don't know. But lepers were the outcasts of society. They were deposed often to places of solidarity, sometimes islands. You see, their disease was highly contagious. But somehow they saw Jesus and they cried out to him from afar. That's why their voices are raised, because there was no way that they could get close to him. And they say, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Or maybe instead of pity, a better translation there is mercy. Have mercy on us, which helps us to understand the mindset of these 10 lepers. See, to be merciful means to withhold something that is deserved. And in the first century, no doubt, it was the thinking of these lepers that they were sick, they had leprosy because of their sin. That was a common misunderstanding of the first century, that it was either their sin or their parents' sin or their grandparents' sin that has been passed down along, and they're sick because of their sinfulness. And so, of course, they would call out to Jesus. And they would say, remove this illness because of our sin. They wanted Jesus to withhold that punishment for sin because they were sick. And what does Jesus do? He cleanses them. He says to them, go now and show yourselves to the priests. Now, we might be thinking to ourselves, what in the world would they be doing going to the priests? Who cares? Well, in the Jewish system, the priests were the ones to determine who was clean and who was unclean. And so by sending the lepers to the priests, Jesus was saying to them, you will be found clean. The priests were the only ones who could declare these lepers clean, that they might enter back into society. And then the kicker of the story. The one who returns is not a Jew at all. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. And did you hear the three things that he did? The first thing he did was praised God. He came back praising God in a loud voice. These three things we might do well to remember, and we'll talk a little bit about these later. But praising God, that means ascribing to God his worth. When this Samaritan was healed, he returned to find Jesus, and he started in a loud voice praising God, declaring his worth. You can maybe imagine some of his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is worthy of praise. Praise you, Lord God, for all to hear. And then he does a second shocking thing. He came back praising God in a loud voice, and then verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. That's unusual. How many times have you thrown yourself at someone else's feet? Don't answer that. Why is he doing this? Because he recognizes Jesus as Lord. This is a Samaritan, not a Jew. And he sees Jesus as the one who has healed him. And by falling down at the feet of Jesus, he's taking a posture before Jesus as the Lord of his life. He surrenders himself in this position of vulnerability and intimacy before his Lord. He praises God. He falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And then he thanks him. He somehow uses words of gratitude to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. If you're following along on your blue slip, these three things might be explained or remembered by three A's. Praising God, this Samaritan acknowledged God's worth. Throwing himself at Jesus' feet, this Samaritan was accepting Jesus' lordship. And thanking him, this Samaritan was appreciating who God is and what God has done. These are three words that might help us remember when God heals us physically, emotionally, spiritually, how we might respond. We acknowledge him, we accept him, and we appreciate who he is and what he's done. There are some lessons here that we might learn about faith and healing. The first one is that faith is not necessary for healing. Now, you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, but I've heard that it is. In fact, Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Your faith has made you well." But has it? Because if the faith of the Samaritan has made him well, if faith is necessary for healing, isn't that problematic? If we say that faith is necessary for healing, for God to do his healing work, then healing comes at our initiative, not God's. Isn't that backwards? Isn't God the one who takes the initiative? God is the one who takes the initiative in all things, in fact. See, healing depends on the healer, not the faithful. In fact, there are many times that Jesus healed without faith in the other one who's receiving the healing. How about the guys who walked their friend all the way to Jesus, opened up the thatched roof, lowered him before Jesus. He's paralytic and he can't walk. And Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And then he heals the man. And what does he say to them? Do you remember? He doesn't say to the man, "Your faith has made you well." He says what? "It is their faith which has made you well." The faith of his friends. But again, we might erroneously think, well, at least somebody has to have faith. But that's not true either. How about those who were demon-possessed? In many cases, Jesus cast out demons from those who were angry at him, those who had all but faith. And then how about this example? How about Lazarus, who had died and was in the grave 4 days? Do you think Lazarus had faith that Jesus would heal him? It's not a trick question. Friends, he was dead. Right? Lazarus is dead, and Jesus healed him. How could Lazarus have had enough faith for Jesus to heal him if he was dead? That's a rhetorical question, the answer of which is he didn't. And so Jesus heals. We see throughout all of Scripture, not just in the healing of Jesus, but throughout all of Scripture, that it is the healer that heals, not the one who receives healing by faith. That's important to remember, because it is God's initiative that heals, not our own. These 10 lepers, they recognize Jesus, and they recognize this point. They recognize it's the healer, not the faithful. Jesus hears from them this word master. Luke, by the way, in his gospel uses the word master where the other gospels use rabbi or teacher. That's extra. You don't have to pay for that this morning. That's just an extra one. So Luke uses master. The other gospels use rabbi and teacher. They're acknowledging Jesus has the authority over such things. Jesus has the authority and the ability to heal them, to dispense mercy. 2 Timothy, as we heard Jim read it for us this morning, chapter 2 and verse 13, that was the last verse of that reading. Paul says to Timothy these words, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." What does that mean? It means that even when we don't have faith, God is still faithful because he has to be. Because God's character, because God's nature is to be gracious and merciful, he must act graciously and mercifully. Are you tracking me so far? Because it is the very nature, the character of God, to be gracious and merciful, he must be that which he is. And so we must act accordingly. It is in God's nature and God's character to heal his people. And so faith is not necessary for healing. But, number two, faith often plays a role in healing. Jesus said to the Samaritan man, your faith has made you well. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you look at this text more closely, all 10 of these evidence faith. As they went, says the text, they were cleansed. As they went, as a function perhaps of their going. You see, Jesus says to them, go and see the priests. And what do? It's an act of faith to turn around from Jesus and start to walk toward the priests, towards the temple. They were trusting that Jesus did or was going to do what he said he was going to do. And so the lepers, all 10 of them, hear Jesus' words, go see the priests. They turn, and as they were going, as they evidenced that faith, as they responded faithfully, they were healed, they were cleansed. You see, it took a step of faith for each of these to receive the gift of healing. Now, it's not conditional, we've just said that. But our faith and God's healing power and action, they play a role together. Now, for 9 of these, they would have never put those two together. For 9 of these, the Jews, they would never understand that their healing came as an act of faithfulness of God. In fact, it would only be the Samaritan who returned to Jesus. When Jesus says to the Samaritan, your faith has made you well, he's connecting the man's faith with God's healing work. One, this foreigner, heard Jesus connect faith with healing. And so now, the Samaritan has connected in his mind faith with healing. The other 9 just went to the priests. Now, they may have acknowledged that Jesus healed them, perhaps, but they certainly would not have connected their faith with this healing act. And so when we hear of us, our faith has made us well, we hear the same words as the Samaritan heard. See, what it comes down to is, to whom do we give the honor and the glory? You know, I see, as you do, many miracles that happen around us. Many. Especially as a chaplain for our fire departments, I go on many calls. They're all very difficult calls, as you can imagine. This past week, I showed up on a call just the next block over on Farrell Street. There's a young man who had overdosed on drugs, and he had stopped breathing. The fire department showed up. They started CPR and life-saving methods. When they were done, this young man was sitting up on the gurney, talking and breathing on his way out of the home. Now, if I were one of the Jews, I might say, gosh, I'm glad I was healed. Or gosh, I'm glad he was healed. But if I'm the Samaritan connecting faith with his healing, when I showed up on scene, what do you think the first thing I do is? Pray. In fact, before I get there, I'm praying. I know what healed that young man. Better said, I know who healed him. You see, friends, when it comes to healing, we attribute our healing to the creator of the world, the master of the universe, Jesus, the salvation of all people. And this Samaritan did that very thing by acknowledging God through praise, by accepting Jesus, by bowing at his feet, and by appreciating what God has done, by thanking him. This is how our faith plays a role in healing. We know who heals. We know the healer. And lastly, and maybe most obviously, faith should lead to gratitude for healing. Do you find this interesting, these words of Jesus when the Samaritan comes back? I do. He says to the Samaritan, "Where are the other nine?" That's an interesting response of Jesus. I think it may evidence that Jesus fully expected them to come back too. Where are they? Shouldn't they also be here? He says, "Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" See, I think Jesus expected the others to return and thank him, perhaps acknowledge and accept and appreciate him. What this reminds us of is it's sometimes we who are the closest to God who miss him. See, the Jews had a history, thousands of years of history with God, but they didn't recognize God in the person of Jesus as he stood and healed them. I'm going to close with these words. The three things we might remember about our faith and healing. First, our faith doesn't enable God to heal. God is already able. Second, our faith helps us to recognize and trust God as the one who is able to heal. And lastly, our faith encourages us to give him thanks. And so, friends, pray, receive the gift of healing by faith, and hear the Lord Jesus say to you, "It is by your faith that you are well." Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.